Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610.
We got to share it now.
All right, so we're laughing because we're checking in on the Masters. Yeah. It is day one of the Masters, a tradition unlike any other. And, of course, we're looking at the leaderboard at some various other people. By the way, the field's still pretty tight, packed tight together as, you know, some people have gotten done with their rounds. But, you know, the leader's still largely on the course. Tyrrell Hatton is number
yes,
one.
Tyrrell Hatton is
at the top. He is an Englishman. But I'm going to be honest. I said that for Lopez's benefit. The way that I say his name, that's Tyrrell Hatton.
Tyrrell Hatton.
He Tyrrell Hatton to me.
And I said, what are you going to call him? I shouldn't even say this.
No, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. I was like, or is it Tyrrell? Like Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
It's not Tyrod. It's Tyrod. So it might be Tyrrell.
Reggie put an apostrophe in there.
Tyrod.
Tyrell.
Tyrell Hatton. Tyrell Hatton.
I'm sure he got that a lot, too.
No, not in England.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know if he got it in England. Now, if he was playing somebody's tournament stateside, depending on what it was, he might have gotten a little. Hey, what's up, Tyrell? But yeah, Tyrell Hatton, four under through 12. Morikawa is tied with Scheffler and a few others at three under. And those guys are on the back nine as well.
No, they're not quite yet on. Some are.
No, Morikawa and Scheffler are. But I know the Masters and Augusta National, they do this
thing. They always one through 18. Unless it's rain.
No, I know, but they want you to call it something different. They don't want you to call it the back nine. It's the
well, they have all kinds of weird
names.
Yeah,
they got like, this.
They're not fans, they're patrons.
Of course.
You know.
Of course. Absolutely.
The patrons.
I'll figure out what I'm supposed to say. Until then, what we're supposed to talk about here is the Texans here, Lopez. You seem to have become more confident in an assertion that I'm interested in diving into.
It's peer pressure, man.
Oh, really?
It's the Joneses. In this case,
specifically the Joneses,
not the Joneses per se. But,
oh, okay.
Who owns the Rams?
The Rams are the Cronkies.
The Cronkies. That's right. Same Cronkies.
Because remember,
that's right.
So they own some Denver because they own the Nuggets. They own the Avs, but then they also owned what was then the St. Louis Rams. Then they were the ones that moved them to Los Angeles and put shelled out quite a bit of money, personal money, to help get SoFi Stadium built. So, they've got money, which is why it's funny that they are a little bit cheap with the Nuggets. Mm-hmm. That's neither here nor there. They do have the Rams, and they're also not being cheap there, are they?
No, and I'm more convinced, not to bury the lead here. So I saw what the Rams are doing with it was a couple of days ago now.
Yeah.
There was a first look of the Rams' new headquarters. Now, keep in mind, the Texans are talking about moving their headquarters away from NRG and practice facility, et cetera. So the Rams are moving it to Woodland Hills. And if you don't know where Woodland Hills, California is.
I don't. Let me do the Googles.
It's practically smack in the middle of L.A. I mean, it's not L.A. proper, but it's like 20 minutes from downtown L.A. So this is prime real estate, like very prime real estate, as in $10 billion worth of real estate and construction And they're going to be building an entertainment venue with 5,000 seats, and they're going to have all their headquarters, sports and entertainment district.
Yep, that's the part that I found interesting. Yes, like that is actually keeping up with the Joneses, as in like Jerry Jones and what they do up there in the DFW area with their Star, their Ford Center, where they have you know, they have retail and they have offices and they have, you know, workout facilities for, like, you know, general patrons in the public.
They're
trying to make this a destination place outside of just the stadium that they have.
And that's
as well.
that's what kind of struck a chord with me. You don't think the McNairs, who are already kind of thinking about moving out and on the record of moving out of their facility to another place, want this? Of course they do. Think about what's happening around the NFL, keeping up with the Cronkies, keeping up with the Haslams. You know, the Browns are doing all kinds of new stuff. What's the Bills ownership? It's the Bills are redoing things.
Oh, what is the Bills ownership?
Keeping up with the Bills owners. You know, keeping up with the Joneses, as in Jerry Jones. This is this. I'm more convinced.
It's the Pegulas.
It is?
Yeah, because I was like, they own the Sabres, don't they? And it is the Pegulas.
Okay.
I would have never guessed that.
Yeah. So what I'm saying here, we can pretty much bank on the Texans moving their facilities at least to this degree and maybe even wanting something like this. If it could even be a compromise of sorts from, you know, raising the Astrodome and building something here. I think that's still a priority on their renovation, but it could be something of a compromise. Like, I'm more convinced than ever the Texans are doing this. At minimum, they're doing this.
Yeah, and that one felt like when it was thrown up there, I was like, okay, that seems like a no-brainer, right? Because, again, I think this is the type of thing that it would be fairly easy to shell out the money for. Like, this is one of the things that also, to tie it into something that we were talking about earlier in around the NFL, when you talk about the NFLPA's report cards, these are the types of things that players look at, is like having those dedicated facilities that are, you know, are state of the art, and having an opportunity to do this in a way where you separate it from the stadium, I think also takes it away from the traffic of whatever stadium events that you have. And maybe you can even put it, and I hate to put it in this way, in a part of the area that's a little bit closer to the nicer parts of the area, you know, like where you'd be inclined to have, you know, richer communities and, you know, more expensive housing and those types of things, in the same way that you see right in this situation.
Yeah.
Right? So what I'd be really interested in is if they try and make it a destination in that same way.
Well,
that's the thing I'm really interested in.
I think that's what the plan is going to be. But this is where it gets real interesting to me. They work in partnership almost lockstep on a lot of things with the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. I think they could do this. I also think they could use this type of move, whether it's to East, you know, Edo area or wherever, Woodlands, whatever.
You think they do the practice facility downtown?
I think you could. Keep in mind, Woodland Hills, that's LA, man. I mean, that's prime. They can absolutely do it here. But what I'm saying is, you can either do it in the suburbs or here or Sugarland or whatever.
Yeah, I'd guess.
You know, one of those.
Yeah, but also Woodland Hills is next to Calabasas, dog, and not far from Thousand Oaks.
It's like a half hour from downtown.
Yeah, I don't
do Google Maps.
That's what I'm looking at right now. Yeah. Like,
do you think it's smart, like in our situation, having that downtown Houston like that?
I think they would benefit from it. The Texans would have more of a say. They'd have, you know, what's one of their big gripes is they can't even fix the plumbing without going through hoops, you know, for the county. And then maybe they have some investment in the properties itself, whether it's the restaurants, the entertainment district, the venues, or whatever. So that's one thing they can do. And
yeah, Lopez, I'm sorry, I'm fighting with you on the idea. I mean, we're out closer to Malibu than we are Los Angeles.
Malibu is right there.
What do you mean right there? You gonna talk about Southern California and talk about right there?
Dude, I've been to LA a million times, but we'll get to that.
The way you
later.
Set it up, I thought they was playing this to the Staples.
You know what I'm saying?
Crypto.com. No. I said it's about 20 to 30 minutes. I said it's about 20. Have you been to LA? 20 to 30 minutes is like a walk in the park. You know, for most people who live in LA. Not to get off track too much, they could do that. I think the other thing they could do is use it as leverage with the rodeo. Like, hey, man, we're going. We don't want to leave the rodeo hanging here. Because then the rodeo would be upset. You know, all of a sudden the Texans leave their facility and, you know, and they're kind of leaving the NRG for the renovation is still going to be a part of it. But the whole idea of renovating with a, you know, with like a a destination point entertainment district here, you know, at NRG, that would kind of be out the window.
I don't think so. Like, I think that those two things can coexist. I think that that would serve to try and honestly grow what the Texans have available to them. And I don't, because I don't view it as leaving the rodeo out in the lurch, right?
Mm-hmm.
You create more space in that stadium that is currently there. That if you do Reno, now you have more of that space to dedicate to forward-facing, fan-facing things. And maybe even that's to help, you know, the rodeo have more dedicated space in there. Like, maybe you do it in that vein. But I could easily see, like, taking those facilities out mm-hmm. and making the stadium more focused towards what the commonality and the common goals of these two organizations, which is being able to present the best experience for patrons. But then on top of that, also have it better situated for bringing in other revenue producing events mm-hmm. to NRG Stadium, including, like you're talking about, like a district around mm-hmm. in that. I think that this actually fits lockstep in there. The thing that I find interesting is, like, just maybe you can find some jealousy, I think, in what you're talking about, mm-hmm. for lack of a better word. If you do have, hey, we want to build a kind of an entertainment district in the NRG area, but then also wherever we do
that's
build
what I'm
this,
saying. What
whether it's Pearland, whether it's Sugarland, what have you.
Right, because the Texans might, what they really want, both of them, is right here. Get rid of the Astrodome, build the entertainment district, boom, let's go. Renovate the stadium, we're good to go. If the Texans do this, and they are already talking about it, you think they're going to pitch in over here?
I think they might. Because you know what's better than one entertainment district? Two.
Yeah, that's a lot,
right,
of money.
In two parts of a really big metro,
a lot of money.
In a two parts of a really big metro area, mm-hmm. and yeah, it's a lot of money. But these are the types of investments that nowadays, like if you have like real estate investments, especially ones next with nice hubs that are going to generate that mm-hmm. you know, that foot traffic and stuff, I think that is a particular appeal. But that's a whole different level than if they go to the Rams level mm-hmm. of doing that whole thing. They could easily just go, hey, we want to make a state-of-the-art facility that serves our team, but then also gives us the space to really lean in further on the NRG renovation.
Yeah.
And I think that even still is a good thing. I view the idea of separating out those facilities as just a pure net positive for the Texans and their ability to put on what they are hoping to put on.
I do. I think
for
it's,
our fans.
I do, too. I just think the McNairs are not going to just say, well, let's just build something. No, let's look around the league. They want to build this. And I think they prefer it, you know, here, but they're looking at, away from the NRG Park.
I would kind of like to see what their mindset is when it comes to, like, relocating. Because you can either do the thing, which is, A, build it downtown mm-hmm. and kind of have that downtown feel to it.
What, the like, practice facility yeah. and headquarters?
That and possibly a stadium. Mm-hmm. Or either keep it kind of in an open place where you could build that whole big community. Kind of like how the Cleveland Browns are doing
right
now.
Yeah, they'll get all the tax breaks. They'll get all probably breaks on the land and everything else if they go out somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, as of right now, the company line is committed to that Reno.
Mm-hmm.
Committed to the renovation, so.
I see them working.
Okay. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Interesting stuff there. I mean, I'm so intrigued by what that looks like. And honestly, the biggest thing is I want to take them at their word that they're doing this in a way that's geared towards fans. And if that's the case, mm-hmm. I'm super excited what the possibilities could be to help that experience and what that can mean for a Texas team. All right. And somebody said, how you think the Texans are moving their headquarters and not going to build a new stadium? Because you move that headquarters out and you give yourself more space mm-hmm. to do the renovations that you have within the place that
yeah.
you have.
Yeah.
And it's also, like, again, that you have the associations that you have with Harris County as is.
But I don't see NRG Park being what they both hope it would be if they build somewhere else. They might chip in, like you're talking about, you know, there's incentives, but they're going to be focused on that, whatever that is.
Okay.
You know?
I mean, that's interesting. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Actually, let's do this now. How about it? Call okay. number six.
All right.
Right now to 713-572-4610. We'll win tickets to see Brian Regan at the Bayou Music Center on December 4th. You'll win those tickets now just by calling in 713-572-4610 and being caller number six. All right, coming up next, it's about the time where we hand it over to Figgy Fig for Figgy's mixtape. Fig, what you got for us?
Yeah, we got a stalker on the loose, and an NBA player should be a little nervous, or should he be a little nervous? Plus, what are some societal rules that people think we should quit?
Oh,
713-572-4610. I got a list of them. I want to see if y'all down to quit these, or they we should keep these going.
Oh, this should be fun. Mm-hmm. We'll do it next.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yep, it's the Mixtape in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Figgy Fig holding it down on a Thursday. Happy Thursday to everyone out there. So, I don't know if you guys seen this. Reggie probably seen it. But
why? Why me? What I do?
Yeah, you be in these Twitter streets too. Oh. So you be seeing a lot of the same stuff I be seeing. But an NBA player, alleged stalker, Akima Love, reportedly assaulted a romantic rival inside his home. And I'm going to do a little quick test after I read this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do a multiple choice test for y'all. So
I'm offended that you don't know I was in on this.
Did
you hear about this?
Oh yeah,
I actually didn't. So
I did.
Oh really?
Figgy was wrong.
See there, you're profiling.
Okay, so Lopez should pass this test.
I'm going to pass this test.
Okay, yeah. So this alleged stalker named Akima Love, mm-hmm, allegedly hit her keys against this young lady in the house, mm-hmm, tearing off her nails and threatening her.
Oh my god!
And she said, "Quote, count your days. It's going to be your head next when I drop this baby."
I was all about it, man. I was dug in.
All right, okay. Real quick, count your days as a threat. Good, like good threat.
That's pretty solid.
Count your days.
I'd be scared.
That's a little scary.
Yeah, I'd be scared.
If somebody was out here, count your days.
Yeah,
count your days feels a little old school to me. I feel like you need to get something a little tougher. I'm not all that scared on somebody.
It's kind of mob style type of thing.
Yeah, yeah, that would work on me.
Your days are numbered.
Yeah. All right. So, who do you think this NBA player is? I got multiple choice right here. A, is it Ja Morant? B, Anthony Edwards, who's been into some kind of situation.
Well, I feel like, is she pregnant? Because if it's not, then she's probably not Ant.
C, is it Zion Williamson? D, Kevin Love. I threw Kevin Love in here just to comment.
You're not supposed to put it in there and then immediately go, that one's not. That's
a little,
not, that's
a little diverse. A little diverse right there. Got to add a white guy in this one.
Who is the white guy most likely to be in this? Because it's not Kevin Love. Kevin Love is like happily married.
Tyler Hero.
Oh, there it is. Yeah. That is the answer. That is the one.
I scratch Kevin Love, I'll put Tyler Hero.
Well, I know it's not either of them. Thanks for that.
Who you got?
This feels like a Zion Williamson exclusive because he be messing with the wrong ones.
So you got C?
Yes, I have C. Give me Zion Williamson.
Oh, I know it's Zion Williamson.
You damn right. It's Zion Williamson.
That young man.
Let's go to the report right here to explain the story a little more from WDSU News.
In Jefferson Parish, a woman named Akima Love arrested and charged with several crimes. Stalking, battery, and a couple of other offenses related to that. According to a police report from Kenner PD, she allegedly went to another woman's house, first off egged it, then made what were somewhat threatening comments on social media, and then days after that went back to that woman's house in Kenner and, according to a police report in Kenner, allegedly attacked the woman. That's where the charges stem from, but a well-known basketball player's name is now involved in this because Zion Williamson lives in Kenner. He lives in a gated neighborhood there, and the woman, Akima Love, according to law enforcement sources, was picked up at a home where Zion lives.
Of course she was. Of course she was.
The NBA got to do something about this.
What
man.
About Zion?
Yeah,
where's
you see the type of women he's been attracted to?
Yeah, what happened? Dealing with? Did you not listen at the rookie symposium? Also, where is your OG? Like, where is your vet?
Yeah,
somebody. You know, this is the real problem with not, you know, with all these all these teams trying to just throw out a whole bunch of rosters of just young dudes. Like, where's your vet? CJ McCollum, what are you doing?
Yeah,
as the old head on the team, why are you not helping the young man and taking him under your wing and saying, hey, look, young fella, I need you to get on the straight and narrow, brother. Like, I need you to, you can eat what you want, but you need to be a little bit more careful and more selective with who you out here running with.
I just don't understand the women's selection.
It's wild, man.
Because it'd be one thing, like, I know Anthony Edwards kind of been in the news a lot because of his decisions with women. But at least you could look at the woman and be like, oh, she kind of fired.
I get it.
You're like, his eyes working, though. I tell you that. Yeah. The brain might be making some decisions that are a little off, but the eyes are working.
These women that Zion been involved with,
yes,
I wouldn't talk to them now if I was single.
Wow.
I would stay away from them now.
Because like, they are beneath me.
I'm nobody. I'm not.
That is wild.
I'm not the guy that's sitting here saying, oh, Kim Kardashian ain't attractive and all this other stuff. No, these girls right now in this moment, I'm like, nah, I'm good. I'm good with what I got, man. I'm not risking it for nobody, for them.
Yeah.
I just don't understand what this dude is doing.
The only question I had, and maybe you know the answer to this, is because I read the story and I just still didn't get this. Like, she was a stalker, apparently, or some sort of, I guess, a romantic interest.
It seemed like she was involved with him
and then started stalking him.
Yeah, yeah. She's pretty much, I mean, yeah. I want to say the same thing, but this is pretty much Mariah Mills all over again.
She went wild about him, too.
Yeah, she started going crazy, kind of stalker-ish.
Right.
Like, why you not answering the calls, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. She kind of doing it more on a violent level.
Right. But was the other one, like, a true romantic rival is why they used it? Like, was she involved with Zion, or just she thought she was? Or
it sounded like it was the one that she beat up.
Yeah.
How much of this, and this is probably deeply unfair, and I acknowledge that on the front end. How much of this is like New Orleans different? All right, like New Orleans as a tourist is just a place where it's like, this is incredible music and food and what a wondrous place.
I think this is more of a Zion.
I'm not even buying that because it's a lot of NBA players in smaller cities and stuff like that be flying these girls out. They look on Instagram, they fly that girl to that city.
Yeah, that is fair.
It's hard.
You are not confined by the geography of where you are.
It's not. It's hard. Hell, Donovan Mitchell got Coco Jones.
Yeah.
God bless him, by the way.
Yeah. That's a good get.
That's a good get.
Good catch.
Yeah, that's a good catch.
How do we score catches? I need you to teach me something here, Lopez.
On her?
No, I'm just in general.
When it comes to NBA fishing,
how do you score catches?
That's a keeper?
Okay.
Is that all it is? All right, very good. I was like,
that's a trophy.
Are there points here?
No, you got keepers and you got trophies.
Okay, I was like, is there a point system? I'm thinking bucks. I'm thinking that. All right, my bad.
Yeah, but, man, I don't know what's going on with Zion, man. Mm-hmm. He might need to sit down somewhere. I mean, he out for the season, which only played 30 games. So I think he's been doing nothing but sitting down.
Oh, my God.
He need to do something, man. This is disappointing.
Shout out to him, though. He picking ladies with at least a little bit of money. How many eggs did they say she threw at the house?
Oh, that's right. Oh,
yeah. She got egg money?
Yeah.
That's nice.
That's a new term.
Egg money.
He's got that egg money.
She got egg money?
He got that egg money.
Good for him.
He got to do something. But let's pray for my man. I think he like him crazy. So, made up societal rules that people think we should quit. 713-572-4610. So somebody, somebody made up
societal norms.
Yeah. So list of random things that we all say that's the unwritten rules, that type of stuff. And, I wonder if some of them a little outdated or some of them just plain old silly that we should not go by. I got a list. I'm going to go through this real quick. The first one on the list is the no double texting rule. How do y'all feel about the double texting?
I'm good with it.
You okay with doubling back?
Yeah.
I think you should
double text if you need to. Yeah.
I'm okay with it because sometimes, like, I'm guilty of missing a text.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes if you double text and I see that, I'm like, oh, I didn't even know you.
Yes, that's the reason why. It's one of the reasons why.
Yeah, it's not, to me, I don't care about the whole looking desperate type thing. So I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
What about the respect your elders thing?
Always. That needs to stay around.
See, I agree.
Wonder why you say such things.
See, I agree with that.
I believed it when I was 10, nah, and I believe it now.
But see, I agree with that statement, mm-hmm. but I feel like you should respect everybody.
Agreed.
Like, yeah, but not reverence, but sort of just give them a benefit of the doubt.
I'm in on being respectful. I think also, though, just like the way that we view respect is interesting, though, because sometimes it's like that respect your elders turns into do whatever to somebody that's older than you says.
Yeah.
And sometimes
it'd be elders that talk to younger people crazy, mm-hmm. and it's like, oh, you can't say nothing bad. You got to respect your elders.
Yeah, it ends up like, being something that they hide behind. Yeah.
Yeah, I respect people that respect me.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm.
So I try to respect everybody as much as possible. Mm-hmm. What about this one? Expecting people working in food service to always be happy.
Well, that's an interesting one.
That is tough.
That's my favorite one, because whenever I go to like a food service, especially if it's like a lower tier, like a fast food spot, mm-hmm. and stuff like that, I'm not sitting there pissed off because the other person wasn't smiling.
No.
Or might have a bit of an attitude. You could tell they kind of stressed out a little bit. I'm not about to sit here and say, hey, where's your manager at? Mm-hmm. I kind of understand the deal. So I just try to get through it and do my part and
for
smile.
Sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. Right. Like, especially understanding and having worked in food service and stuff, you get an understanding of, man, them jobs are not easy in the way that some people would like to try and purport them to be. And on top of that, like, you know, not everybody's all, you know, it's not always a good day at work, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes people have bad days. I want to leave room for that. However, I also acknowledge, damn, it feels nice when somebody's really happy to see you.
See, that's what I think.
Like, it does feel nice when that service is in a good space.
I think this is almost case by case. Like, you know, you can understand, you know, maybe a fast food and there's a rush. I'm not expecting them to, you know, to say my pleasure, you know, or whatever. Shout out to Chick-fil-A. But you do expect some sort of courtesy. Now, a restaurant almost all the time, hey, I know it's tough back there in that kitchen. I've been in them too. It's wild. People are yelling. They're cussing. You get out to the front, you got to put on that happy face, man.
Yeah.
Got to do it.
And see, that's where the thing is, where the whole tip thing happens.
Yeah.
Where it's like, should this person get this much for a tip or that little for a tip? Mm-hmm. That's where that kind of play in. So
that's a societal norm I'd like for us to change, man. I'm sick of having to figure out how much to give you.
Yeah.
Like, I like the idea of that's what's on the menu, that's what we paying. Like, that would be very nice to take a little stress off of me personally.
I think that stuff will help a lot if they get paid a little more.
Well, yes, certainly. Of course.
I'm talking about as far as the servers and stuff like that, because mm-hmm. that's right there is a joke itself.
Oh, yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. What about people that say the women should be polite to be more considered ladylike?
That one might be because first one where I think it's a little antiquated.
Yeah, because we don't really say that about guys.
Yes. Yes.
It's always like, you need to be more ladylike.
Manners are manners.
Just because she drinking the beer watching sports or something
like that. Yeah, manners are manners no matter if you're male or female.
Yeah.
Ladylike is a little bit.
What about it should be acceptable to respectfully decline gifts?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I have never thought about that.
I don't know if I would. I think
so. The whole pretending to like something to take
I
it home.
That's just
is
courtesy.
It fair to say, nah, I don't really. Man, I don't like this.
Yeah, no, I don't like that.
It like logically that feels like it would make sense, but some within me just don't like it. Like,
right. Exactly.
That's one of those weird places where I'm like, logically, it would make sense. Like, I appreciate where you're coming from with this, but I don't like this. Seems like logical.
I don't like this.
But like, I could never get myself to do that. And I just don't understand what that is, right? Yeah. I'm just in there like, nah, I would just take it and we'll figure out what to do with this later.
Yeah, I'm the same. What to me is, I know this is a cliche, but it's all about the thought. It's the thought that count, that you actually thought about me by giving me something. But if it's something outrageous that I don't even use, like, a cigar or something like that, and I don't smoke cigars, then I'm like, oh, thank you so much. I don't really smoke, but maybe I tried, or you know, I try to beat around the bush a little bit.
Give him a little bit of hope before you pawn it off to myself or Lopez.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Y'all want something? But
because I will take that cigar, I'll tell you that.
What about this one? You can't eat in front of your friends unless they're eating too.
I think that's stupid.
Sure you can.
Bump that.
Yeah,
yeah. Sure you can.
I never understood that. That seemed like that's more of a little kid's thing.
Is like, it?
If you got something and the other kid don't have it.
Oh, you gotta share.
Yeah, you can't you can't bring it around Tommy because Tommy don't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, screw Tommy.
Way to do wow.
Screw Tommy.
Damn, I don't know Tommy, but
like it's my bag of chips.
That's crazy.
I gotta share everything.
Screw Tommy.
Yeah, no, I think it's just the idea, like a certain level of equity or whatever. But hey, man, we not all hungry at the same time.
Yeah.
But what's funny is I say that. I still will wait at a restaurant if one person's food comes out before
the
restaurant.
Different. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though most people, I think nowadays, are like, go ahead.
Yeah.
I just feel weird. Also, because, and some of this is just like, you know, the way that things time out. If I start eating now and then you get your food later, it feels like if we're all eating at the same time, we'll largely get done at the same time. Mm-hmm. And then the talking commences. I'm not having to talk to you through food. And like, it gets real awkward when that happens.
Yeah. What about everyone thinking that it's rude to read a book at a function or event? How you feel about people that do that?
Function or event?
Let's say you had a cookout.
Yeah, function or event are the key words. Like at a game, I get it. If you know you take someone who doesn't really into that team, they take a book. But a function or an event, don't be reading. You know what I mean?
You probably need to be present.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah, I'm down with that. This is a key one for me. I kind of live by this one. Some people don't. That is unacceptable to date your friend's ex.
Ooh, that one's tough.
That is a hell no for me. You can't date your friends.
That one's real tough.
I would never do it, man.
That one's real nasty.
There was a time when I would never do it. And of course, I would never do it now.
Yeah. I was like, where are you going now, brother?
Where my mind would be, I would never do it. Now my mind would be where, as long as you ask, tell the dude or tell the girl, hey, you know, would you mind? You know
what
I'm
saying? That's kind of a jerk move, too, because what they supposed to say?
Well,
because they look like the jerk if they go, absolutely not.
What if they say no?
If you're friends, they could. And you'd be like, you know what? You're my buddy. I won't. You know, you don't have a relationship with this person yet. You're just like, hey, man, I'm kind of interested. Nah, man. All right, cool. You know?
Yeah, I could. To me, I always go back to that thing. I always say it's more fish in the sea, man. I ain't got to focus in on this one girl that you was involved with.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? She's fine. But I ain't gonna do it, man. I'm gonna just leave that alone. Yeah, I just leave that alone. What about this?
Somebody said I had to figure out why my friends like them. You're not a good person. That's crazy.
Then when y'all break up, oh, I see why y'all broke up.
Yeah, I get it now. My bad, dog.
I get it now. What about placing the napkin on your lap?
Always do. That's mama.
Is that kind of outdated?
Nah.
Probably. But I do it anyways, just in case.
Yeah, you always do that.
All right, and the last one, blessing people when they sneeze. That ain't going nowhere.
Nowhere. Always.
It just feels nice.
It does.
Yeah. Like I think Roy Wood Jr. put out his latest comedy special is all about like human connection and how we have less and less of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the little things that we have that are just niceties that help us like remain somewhat close as human beings.
Mm-hmm.
I want as many of those to remain just because it is kind of crazy. We are losing that human connection, interconnectivity. Just like the opportunity to just talk to each other about sports, man. That's one of the beautiful things. It's like no matter what, especially if we're all at this game together, at least we know that there's this one thing that we could stay in these bounds and have a lot of fun and be able to connect as humans on a human level.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I'm very much with the go ahead and say bless you when somebody sneezes. Now I can understand if they start sneezing and they get that repetition once you get to like three or four,
then all right, you got it. God got you. I said my part.
We got it in there already. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us on this Thursday. Coming up next, we get ready to hand it off to the fellas of the drive. It's Sean Bajani and Luke Morrow in for the fellas. We'll talk to them next.
Thank you, Figgy.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
Been a fun Thursday here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Adetula, and Figgy Fig hanging out with you. I hope that you have also enjoyed and had fun with us. A little bit before we hand it off to the fellas of the drive today, it'll be Sean Bajani and Luke Morrow in for the guys. And T-Mill, of course, still at the helm of that thing. We'll talk to them here shortly. But is there any way that we've been jumping out the gym with these Astros? I know that feels like a wild thing to say. Just offensively, they're slugging the worst in baseball. I mean, obviously you had what was one of the most frustrating ends to a game yesterday with Brian Abreu walk-off walk.
That was rough. That was rough.
That ultimately gave away a game in which you saw crooked numbers up on the board for the first time in a little while. Like actually seeing a first inning where you get some free passes and you get some singles, you stack them up, you add some runs on top of that later in the game, and then ultimately give it all back at the very end. But are we? Am I doing too much here, Lopez? Because
how so?
I mean, there's been a decent amount of frustration, and a lot of us, a lot of you, expressed the same thing on the text line about, you know, how this is a rough watch and it's frustrating and almost like expressing anger. But this Astros team, when they come to April, like, this is not all too unfamiliar, the ways in which April's happened. Like, mm-hmm. Consider last year in 2024, Astros record in April.
That was notorious last year.
10 and 15, right? So that's notorious. In 2022, you remember World Series,
mm-hmm.
14 and 12 in April. 2021, 14 and 12 in April. Like, starting off kind of so-so and relatively close to 500 in April is not something that is entirely unfamiliar to the Astros. Does that give you any solace? Am I doing a little much, or is this somehow different?
I don't think you're necessarily doing too much. I mean, those numbers, even though 14 and 12 isn't like off the cliff like last year, it's still not exactly the start you would expect from an eventual world champion. What I think the difference is this is just a different team, man. In terms of how you feel, like, we're getting texts right now. Like, it feels different. It feels weird watching this team. The lack of confidence and everything. And I think a lot of that has to do with there's not a lot of margin for error anywhere. Like, you could make up for a slow start offensively last year, and you did, because you had Bregman and Tucker and, you know, all the usual suspects, etc. You had a bullpen that went, you know, the back end of the bullpen went 7, 8, 9 very strong. You had a starting pitching staff that was, you know, really, really good. All of that stuff. Well, now the starting pitching staff, I think, is still going to be, you know, pretty good, but the bullpen is extremely weak. The back end of the bullpen is, as we saw last night, you know, you had Presley, you had Abreu, Presley, and Hader, and even though it might not have been the best, you know, in terms of what they all wanted to, the role they wanted to play, that was rough. Well, last night, all you had was Abreu, and he spit the bit in the ninth inning. So the margins are so much smaller. And then offensively, I think they did a really good job bringing in, you know, a Christian Walker at first base, but his offense hadn't been there. It'll probably come up. It has to. But
his, Yordan's, yeah. I mean, Altuve has been there offensively, but, you know, Isak Paredes also, I mean, maybe a couple of blips, but mm-hmm. not there in full. Like, there's a lot of places where it feels like the offense still has an opportunity to go through. And do you agree with this sentiment then from the 832? The Astros don't have a leader this year, or at least it has not
we
demonstrated.
We talked about it.
Yeah, we did talk mm-hmm. about who could step into that role. And the names that we had, I kind of threw up the idea of Peña, especially for some of that continuity. Mm-hmm. Christian Walker is the answer that you gave, and I think it's a good one, but are we seeing maybe the limitations of that, where early on you still need to find the ability to have your leadership, yeah, be successful, and then have your leadership land? I think Chandler Rome wrote an interesting piece about how for Christian Walker and Brendan Rodgers, two guys new to this clubhouse, like mm-hmm. trying to find the ways to fit in, even if you go through spring training, it's still like it's a difficult terrain to navigate in some ways.
Absolutely. And that's kind of where I was going. Like, all these margins, even the leadership, and I didn't even mention that leadership, you know, offense. And let's say Christian Walker and Paredes and Altuve stays hot and all that stuff continues to happen. Can you count on the 6, 7, 8, 9 guys in the batting order like you could last year? You know, because how much is Myers going to, you know, be hitting like he is now, or McCormick even, and some of the, and Peña, we were expecting a bigger year on him. He's a little streaky. I would suspect that he's going to pick it back up. I'm just saying, like, all those little elements that combined made this a very, you know, awesome team, they're all weaker. You know, they all look a little weaker now.
In a weird way.
Yeah.
And pardon me for, like, what feels like it's going to be a wild whip around here. That almost points to, like, the concerns I have with the offensive line for the Texans,
mm-hmm.
right? Where if you go, hey, there's a lot of these pieces that we expect, if it goes well, it comes out in the wash. But what happens if various pieces or all of them are not operating to the maximum potential?
Actually, that's very accurate to me.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. that's been my concern all the way around with the offensive mm-hmm. line. It's like, all right, you got guys that are veterans and that mm-hmm. are starters. Well, you could say some similar things when you talk about this Astros team, but if you don't have, and, you know, obviously I'm not saying that a lineup works exactly the same as an offensive line. That'd be asinine to say, but I do wonder if, like, that ends up being some level of, I don't know, analog for the concern that I have that, hey, you're assuming that all these things are going to hit. What happens if they don't? And of course, there's still a lot of time. It is indeed early. And I know someone was like, yes, you are wilding because they'll contend when the time comes. When it comes around to April, they'll be good. But that's something that I thought about in the moment about is this possibly what it could look like? Or like what the worry is or the concern is with the Texans line.
I'll always go back to how Figgy put it, you know, the boogeyman. There was always that factor with this team. Even last year with the slow start, you're like, well, they still, you know, I was thinking they were done, as many people who were listening know, but they weren't, because they did have that boogeyman factor. They did put it all together. They're not that right now. Like, they're not. You know, they're not scary to other teams. That doesn't mean they're not going to do it, because they could easily do it, but they're not that scary entity that they've been for 8 years.
Interesting text comes in on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line.
The Texas Hammer!
When pitchers come to pitch against the Astros now, they don't have to worry about Bregman or Tucker. I don't think the players we replace them with have the same mental effect on opposing pitchers.
Maybe.
Then they went further to say, I don't think umpires have the same amount of respect for the replacements when calling balls and strikes.
Now, I don't know about
that's
that.
That's deep in the sticks.
Yeah, man. I was like, how much do you buy that? And I'd be interested.
Bregman had a lot of respect. That's why I said it's interesting. It's not necessarily right or wrong in my view, but you know, Bregman's eye was so good. He got a lot of respect, a lot of calls, etc.
I'd have a lot of interest in what these two gentlemen, the fellas that we welcome into our D&M Auto Leasing crosstalk here.
Hello!
Sean Bajani and Luke Morrow, a couple of baseball guys joining us. You guys holding down the fort for the drive. Like, what do you make of the idea, or what do you, the assertion rather, that, you know, not having some of the guys that have been replacements that have come in for Tucker and Bregman in the lineup, maybe that they don't have the same respect amongst the league when it comes to pitchers, and maybe also even for umps.
I understand it. Definitely more so with Alex Bregman, because he's been around for 9 years doing his thing and is probably one of the most, if not the most respected eye at the plate of any hitter. Mm-hmm. Certainly in the American League, I would say. Mm-hmm. Tucker, you know, you hear less about, but you see him play, you see him hit, and damn it, he's doing a lot of that this year.
Yeah, he is.
And so I think you can make that assumption. But you got Isak Paredes. Like, who's seen more pitches in Major League Baseball than him, you know, the past year plus? Christian Walker, he's a late bloomer, but the guy can certainly hit, and he's, you know, been striking out quite a bit, but he's also been hitting the ball hella hard, just right at people. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that that's really fair, whether it be a small or even a large sample size, because the large sample size says otherwise in terms of Paredes and Walker's career. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to compare against, you know, the bias that we all naturally have for guys like Alex Bregman and Kyle Tucker.
Right.
Well, and the totality of what that team was. You know, Bregman, Altuve, Tucker, Yordan. I mean, just down the list.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I was saying, are they even the boogeyman anymore as to other teams?
I don't think so. Yeah. There's an element, though, for us, and I think the rest of, you know, baseball fans, too, is that, hey, man, you know, the nucleus has been severely affected. Mm-hmm. You know, in one off season, there is no Bregman, there is no Tucker, there is no Verlander, there is no Presley. And, you know, to some degree too, another familiar face, Hector Neris, that was a key cog in the Astros bullpen various times the last few years. Mm-hmm. So it's very different, but you got some pretty good ball players to kind of take their place. And so I think there's a little bit of like an element of like a fear of the unknown. Like, we don't know what really to expect from the Rockets in the postseason with Jalen Green and all these young guys, Amin Thompson, but you know they're damn good.
Yeah.
Well, you know these guys are damn good on the Astros. It's they haven't been damn good together yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that's absolutely fair. How in are you on the Masters, fellas? Like, are you're a big golf guy yourself,
yeah,
right, John?
I'm a nut.
Luke?
No, I'm casual. I'll pay attention on Sunday. But like these first few days, I mean, it's nice to have, I'll pay attention since it's on here in the studio. But typically, you know, I'd be watching baseball over the Masters the first couple rounds.
Come on, man.
I feel like you're a big Masters guy.
All year round.
Would you agree with this? Like, for the below average to non-golf fan, the Masters is like the Indy 500 or the Daytona 500 or the Kentucky Derby.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a big event. You might not know or care a thing about it for 364 days.
It's March Madness.
Yeah, but you're going to watch. Yeah. Like, if it's on TV, you're going to watch because you know who the world number one is. Mm-hmm. You know who, you know, the favorites or the underdogs are. That for me, should get anybody and everybody involved to some degree.
Yeah. That was actually part of our question of the day earlier today. We were like, what event that you have like no business enjoying, do you still do? Because I think the Masters exists as that for a lot of people.
I like that.
But we got into some fun spaces like for you, I think the Academy Awards
came
up.
I used to watch all those movies and then watch the Academy Awards, and I watch no movies and watch the Academy Awards.
You know, I feel very passionate about that subject because 2025 and probably the previous 7 years just suck. In regards to like movies.
Agreed. Yeah. Strong agree.
I don't know what movies are out because they're on Netflix, they're on Peacock, they're on HBO, they're on all of these platforms.
We need good trailers again.
Yeah.
We need blockbusters again. Yeah. There aren't really good blockbusters
anymore, go to movie theaters. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're sitting at home watching TV, bam, during the commercial breaks, the preview of the badass movie comes on. I don't see that anymore.
No.
Does one of those come to, like, do you have like an event like that? Like for me, I was talking about it. Cricket, weirdly enough, like if there's a cricket match, but I haven't been able to get the rules down yet. Like I have bits and pieces here I can basically follow, but I really don't. There's no reason for me to enjoy watching cricket as much as I do.
Yeah, it's not every year, but curling. I love watching.
I mentioned
in the
that
Olympics.
One. Yeah, I watch curling.
That'll get me to.
Why would
come
I have
on,
you
put
pegged,
some more spin on that?
Why would I have you pegged as a guy that would enjoy curling? Yeah. I don't. Like you're that guy.
Yeah.
Cricket's one of. You know, I had to call do PA for a Dartmouth and some other Ivy League. God bless, who was it? Women's college lacrosse was at UH.
Oh, okay.
I had to do PA for him. Never watched lacrosse in my life. That is fun as hell.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I want to take my boy, you know, to go watch a lacrosse match. And I, in 2 hours, know about lacrosse.
I'm looking
fun.
I'm looking forward to you divulging all you learned about lacrosse.
I won't be doing
hours.
That.
No? Okay. All right. Well, I'm sure that you guys will talk plenty of Houston sports. Excited to hear it. And for Clint Ron, the fellas, Sean Bajani, Lou Morrow, T. Mill, of course, here with you. We're done. We'll catch you tomorrow in the loop. You're listening to KILT AM, KILT FM HD2 Houston and Odyssey Sports Station. And right now, The Drive is live.